Philippians chapter 1. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1257. And we'll read just one verse from that chapter, the sixth verse. And then we'll turn to yet another verse and read that also. We'll read these two verses in unison. And shall we all join in the reading of it by first standing? And then begin with me on verse 6. Ready? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 13. Next page over. And let's read it together, please. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the word and for that which it speaks to our hearts. Help it to act as a mirror today to help us to see ourselves for what we are, that we might better be thy servants and to do the work that thou hast given us to do. So bless preaching and bless preacher, bless, we pray, and help our hearts to be hungry and satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen.
According to the clock up there, it is now 19 minutes until 12. So I can ease your mind, and you'll not wonder what time we'll get finished. I'll be finished preaching within 60 seconds, one way or the other, of 12:10. That's 28 minutes from now. It'll be one way or the other, 60 seconds from 12:10. You'll be out of here by 12:30, as you always are, so you won't have to sit there and wonder and look at your watch and shake it and so forth. You can look at me. And I assure you, and you know when I say that, I keep my promise at least 2 out of 3 times. And so we'll be out of here by 12:30, and I'll be finished preaching within 60 seconds, one way or the other. I'll give you two guesses which way it's going to be from that 60 seconds is going to be. But I promise you that, and you may rest assured. I was driving down the road the other day out in Southern California. Well, no, it wasn't Northern California. Well, in fact, it was Maine. I was driving, and it was up the road instead of down the road. And I wasn't driving. I was walking. But I was driving from San Francisco up to the Lucerne Conference Grounds. And I got behind a car, and it had a bumper sticker. Had this on it, PBPGINFWMY. That bothered the fire out of me. PBPGINFWMY. I tried my best. I know what it spells. It spells PBPGINFWMY. And I knew that, but don't know the meaning of the word. And so that fella got a little faster, and I got a little faster, and I was going to figure out what he was saying. He turned off on the side road. I got off on the side road. Wasn't even going to go that way, but I want to figure out what PBPGINFMWMY means. Finally, he stopped for a stop sign. I drove up beside him, and I rolled the window down, and I waved at him. And I said, "What does PBPGINFWMY say mean?" He said, "It means, please be patient. God is not finished with me yet." You probably already knew that. I don't know things like that, and I did not know. So I'm speaking this morning on the subject, PBPGINFWMY. That's the title of my sermon this morning. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. He may cause me to lose some weight and grow some hair. You don't know about. And, but I turned as soon as I got in the room, because that reminded me of this verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that reminded me of another verse, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And that reminded me of another verse, that we are conformed to the image, or being conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. And that reminded me of another verse, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now may I talk with you for a few minutes. It's been a long time. 40 years of preaching. I'm sorry, 40 years of pastoring. 40 years this summer of pastoring Baptist churches. Unless you pastor a Baptist church, you don't know the joys and the triumphs. You don't know the laughter and the heartaches and the tears. You don't know the victories as well as defeats. But it's been a long time. Not many preachers, percentage-wise, have that long a ministry, 40 years. It's been a long time. Over 5 million miles have traveled just proclaiming that book. Over 45,000 sermons. Think of it. Over 1,000 sermons a year for 40 years. Over 45,000 times I've preached. I preached my 45,000th sermon as best I know, and I've kept fairly good records, as near as I could tell, and I think it's accurate. I preached my 45,000th sermon 2 weeks ago, Friday night at Bob Jones University for the annual Sword of the Lord convention. And as I sat in my motel room after speaking to what Dr. Hudson says was 6,500 people, my mind wandered back to that first time, the Cedar Temple Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, when I stood to try to preach my first sermon. And these verses came to my mind again. He who hath begun a good work will finish it. And I knelt to pray beside my bed that night after I'd preached my 45,000th sermon. And I want to give you the things I said in my prayer. I said, "Dear God, thank you for working with me all these years." Paul said to the Corinthian people, "We're laborers together with God." That passage has always shaken me. I am a fellow laborer with God. While I stand before you this morning, God and I are working together. And I thanked him for working with me. And then I thanked him for working through me. I said, as I often say when I go back at night, oftentimes wishing I had somebody to talk about the service with and just sort of relive the service with somebody. As I continued praying after my 45,000th sermon, I said, "God, not only thank you for working with me, thank you for working through me." I often say this. I said it that night. I believe that God used me tonight. What a wonderful thought for the Creator of the universe, the God of this world. I mean, by that, our great God, using a little piece of dust held together by a little fluid. God used me. And so I said, "Dear God, thank you for working with me. Thank you for working through me." And then I said, "God, I want to thank you for working for me. I want to thank you for the strength you've given me all these years." You understand? I don't believe a preacher could ever say this in the history of Christianity. You understand it's been 20 years since I missed a speaking engagement because of illness? You understand that that's over probably 25,000 sermons? I mean, that's unbelievable. That's unheard of. Preachers around the country marvel when I tell them that. And I said, thank you, God, for working with me. Thank you for working through me. Thank you for working for me. And then I paused for a few minutes because I always have to be sure I'm honest on this next one. But I said, dear God, after 45,000 sermons, thank you for working on me. Now, that's the tough one. It's easy to thank Him for working with me, being my partner. It's easy to thank Him for working through me and giving me blessings. It's easy to thank Him for working for me. But I thank Him and thanked Him that night for working on me. You know, we stress an awful lot that we are God's workers. We don't say much about the fact that we are also God's work. I'm the statue that the great sculptor is finishing. I am the little piece of gold in the rough that's being refined by the great jeweler and craftsman. I was thinking a while ago, as Margaret Nathie stood, just like yesterday to me when I was a 13-year-old lad, my sister went to Baylor Hospital to have a baby, she thought. But she had a litter instead. And she almost died. She really did. They thought she was dying. My mother was frantic. I was home with Truman. Truman is my sister's brother-in-law. He was taking care of me. He was a single boy, a young man at the time. And my mother got frantic because Earlene was about to die. Of course, I was home praying she would. But I... Mother got frantic, praying that she was about to die. So she heard about a place you could call like we have here at the church, and you pray for somebody. She picked up the phone, but she got the wrong number. She said, hello, hello. They said, good morning. She said, hello. Before they could even talk almost, hello, would you pray for my daughter? She's having twins. And a man said, yes, this is a home furniture company. I'll call the folks together and we'll pray. And I was thinking about the day that Margaret Nathie came home from the hospital. And the first day, I was 13 years of age. My mind got to thinking about these years. Our family, like your family, has had a lot of victories and some defeats. We've had a lot of laughter and some tears. But what God, every time God's chiseled away on most of us, we've tried to let Him work on us, and we've tried to let Him use us even more. All families have victories, defeats, mountaintops, and valleys, noontimes, and sun and midnights. But I was thinking a while ago how God has been chipping away at me and us through all these years. And I want to thank Him today, not only that He works through me and for me and with me, but I want to thank Him that He works on me. Because unless He works on me, He won't work through me. Unless He works on me, He can't work with me. Unless He works on me, He can't work for me. And I thank Him. You see, God saw in you, or saw you as you were, and as He wanted you to be and needs you to be. A long time ago, when you first got saved, the Bible says He began a work on you or in you. That little preposition is either on or in or at you, on you, in you. He began a work on you when you got saved. These people talking about lordship salvation, they got holes all over their heads. No, Jesus didn't finish the work when you got saved. He began the work when you got saved. He began it. Thank God. Someday, He'll finish it. But now, He's working on us, and it's salvation. He began the work. But you see, when God saw this poor little boy, ghetto-bound in the ghettos of Dallas, Texas, with an alcoholic dad and a poor, poverty-stricken mother, and I walked the aisle, and God saved me as an 11-year-old boy, nearly 11 years old. God saw me and my bare feet. But God saw something else. God saw this very picture you see now. God saw me standing before this crowd. God saw me preaching 45,000 times the glorious message of grace from the blessed Word of God. Now, God saw you. God not only sees you now, but God sees what He wants you to be. God sees the plan that He has, not just for what you're to do, but what you're to be. And God saw you as you were, and as He wanted you to be, and as He needed you to be. That's why God came to Gideon. Gideon was a little timid fellow. You've heard me say this many times. Gideon was the runt kid of the runt family, of the runt tribe, of the runt nation of the world. If anybody in the Bible had an inferiority complex, it was Gideon. God's angel came to Gideon. It may have been an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. I don't know. But at least an angel of God came to Gideon. And Gideon was threshing wheat, hiding behind a wine press, threshing wheat by himself. He was so shy. And God's angel or messenger came to Gideon and said, "All hail, thou mighty man of valor." The next three words, the words that Gideon said, the next three words, "Oh, my Lord." That's what he said. But God did not only see a timid, introverted, runt guy with no personality and with introversion and timidity and fear, but God not only saw what Gideon was, but God saw what He wanted Gideon to be. And that's what God sees this morning in you. God looks at you, and God sees what you are. But God also sees what He wants you to be and what He needs you to be. So He saved you and began this great work on you. You cannot work for Him, with Him. He will not work through you until He works on you. So God began a work on you. I think we don't stress that enough. We say, "Well, I want to do a great work for God." What we ought to say is, "I want God to do a great work on me. And let God make me and chisel away at me to make me what God wants me to become." God looked down one day and saw a lad. And He saw that lad. But God also saw something else. God saw that the children of America needed a hero. God saw that the children of First Baptist Church of Hammond and fundamental churches like this across this nation needed a hero. And God chose a fellow named Ron Hamilton to be that hero. God saw what he was, fine-looking, healthy young man. But God wanted somebody to be a hero for the fundamental boys and girls in America. God began to chip away. And the great sculptor of the universe began to chip on the marble, to chip away. One day, Ron Hamilton went to the doctor, had his eyes checked. The doctor told him, he said, "In one of your eyes, you've got a problem." He gave some tests and found that he had to have surgery. The doctor said, "Now when you wake up from surgery, you'll either have an eye that's correct or you'll have your eye removed." Ron Hamilton woke up for surgery and felt and his eye was gone. Why? Because God saw what He wanted Ron Hamilton to be. And He put a patch on his eye. And all of a sudden, Ron Hamilton said, "I'll be Patch the Pirate. I'll be Patch the Pirate." He got him a pirate's uniform, got him a pirate's outfit, sword,
All of it. Now across this nation, children love Pat the Pirate. Fundamental kids hear his tapes and sing his songs and love to go hear him, Pat the Pirate. Why? God saw him as he was, but God also saw him as he wanted him to be and needed him to be. And so God started chiseling away. Now I want to say this this morning. When you present yourself for God to do a work on you, it's only fair to remind you it's going to be painful. It's only fair to tell you. I'll be honest with you. When these young folks enter a preach down here at the altar, sometimes these young men come. I look at them and I know something about the tears. I know something about the heartache. I know something about the lies and false accusations. I know something about the battles. I know something about the burdens. I know something about it. And sometimes I want to say, fellas, go ahead and be a businessman. And go ahead and be, work in the secular field and just be a good layman. Because I know what God has got to do. Ladies and gentlemen, so burdens come. God is making you what you want to be, what you ought to be. He's working on you so He can work through you. He's working on you so He can work with you. He's working on you so He can work for you. But don't cringe when the burdens come. It always hurts the marble when the chisel goes deeper and the hammer hits the chisel. It always hurts the marble. But thank God, He's working on me. Because He is, someday more and more, He can work through me. You see, God wants to make you something. I was thinking about my mama a while ago. My mama died a saint. Well, she was a saint ever since she got saved, but my mama died what we call a saint. Not many women have been more revered in Christian circles in our lifetime than Costa Maddie Hiles. But, oh, you wouldn't believe how God chipped away on her. God doesn't use just anybody. God doesn't work through just anybody. He won't work through you till He works on you. Yield yourself to Him. Let Him have you. Say, here I am, as yielded as a piece of marble to a sculptor. I'm yours. Work on me. It'll hurt. I'll tell you what. Whenever you go to bed at night and you bow your head and say, God, I believe You work through me tonight. Or today, I'll guarantee you all the chipping away of a lifetime fades into oblivion when God works through you. Everybody wants God to work through you. Everybody wants God to work for you. Everybody wants God to work with you. But God's got to work on you first. It's not fun. Tears. Heartaches. Every once in a while, some little young mother will walk up to me and she'll say to me, Dr. Hiles, would you pray that I'll be a woman as great as your mother was? I never say this, but I always think it. I don't believe you mean that. I don't believe you mean you want your mother to die young. I don't believe you really mean that you want to have a child who's afflicted, never walks or talks. I don't think you really mean you want to sit beside your child who never says, Mama, never says, I love you, for 7 years and watch the spastic, afflicted child wilt away. I don't believe you mean that you... Son, put the fan down, would you please? I don't believe that you mean that you want to watch that child die. I don't believe that you mean you want to go to the cemetery and lay that little body of your own child in the grave. I don't believe that you mean that you want to have another child and when she's 7, she dies. I don't think you mean that. I don't think you want to be like my mama. You may want to be what she was after God worked on her. I don't think you understand how God chiseled away at that dear old saint. I don't think you mean that you want that second daughter buried beside the first. I don't think you mean that you want the little store that you and your husband own to lose everything, to have to close it and go bankrupt. I don't think you mean you want your husband to be an alcoholic and to leave you to rear a boy by yourself. I don't think you mean you want to walk 2 miles a day to a public school lunchroom and work in a hot steam table for 50 cents a day and then walk 2 miles home. I don't think you mean that. But I want to say this. There never has been anybody that God worked through until God worked on. You just, if you want God to work through you, this modern PTL club Christianity. Oh, it came to Jesus, everything has been real good. And give hooray in 15 for team and rah, 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 and ha, 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 fooey, dooey, fooey, too. Poppycock, that's not Christianity. God reaches down and says, I want you. I want to work through you. I want to work for you. I want to work with you. But first, God says, I've got to work on you. Begins to chip away. The pain comes. The tears come. The lonely nights come. The heartaches come. But one day, bless God, He who has begun a good work in you will finish that work, being confident of this thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of His pleasure. I am God's workmanship. I am His painting. I am His manuscript. I am His statue. God is chiseling on me, and God is working on me. God pity me if I don't use what He's done to me for Him. He's preparing us for a work. One of the sad things is if we don't do it. I want to say this morning, I'd like to talk a long time, and I have a lot of things I wanted to say, but I don't have time. I thank God this morning, after 45,000 sermons and 5 million miles in 40 years, I thank God this morning He's working with me. I've had the consciousness of His presence beside me all these years. And I want to thank God this morning. He's working through me. And I want to thank God He's working for me. And I have to sigh a bit before I say the last one. But I mean it with all my soul. I thank God He's working on me. Could an old man be a little vain just for a moment in closing? Led 2 churches, giant churches, out of the 2 biggest conventions, Baptist conventions in the world. I don't think there's a battle of preachers has to fight that I haven't had to fight through these years. But could an old man be a little vain this morning? I was driving from the airport the other day in North Carolina. Fella drove me, looked over and he said, Dr. Howes, I want you to know I pray for you every day. He said, never fail to pray for you. He said, I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know I thank God that many years ago I came to pastor school. I didn't know a thing about pastoring. And he said, Dr. Howes, I want to thank God everything I've ever learned about pastoring. I learned from you. He said, by the way, you see that building over there? I said, yeah. He said, that's where Lonnie Graves pastors. My mind wandered back almost 30 years ago when I was preaching in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. A young gypsy man came to hear me. He'd never won a soul to Christ. His life was transformed in that service that night. That great church there pastored these years with that gypsy lad that God used this little preacher here to challenge him. Wasn't long till I saw Bobby Robertson's son. Forgot his first name. Steve Robertson. And I said, remember the day I preached at Tennessee Temple University? Steve Robertson was a star basketball player. He surrendered his life to preach the gospel one day when I was preaching at Tennessee Temple. Then I thought about his dad, who many, many years ago had never won a soul to Christ. I preached in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and his dad, Bobby Robertson, who now pastors the largest church in the state of North Carolina. I taught him how to be a soul winner. He took my little soul winning book and went out and won his first soul to Christ about 30 years ago. That first soul he won to Christ was a man. That man's a deacon in that church till this day. And I went to my room, and forgive me for being a little vain for a second in closing. He's worked on me. And he's still working on me, and I need it. But you'll have a hard time finding. And I know somebody will criticize this. Go ahead. Criticize away. But you'll have a hard time finding a neighborhood in this nation that my little ministry hasn't touched in these years. You really will. So after 45,000 messages, 5 million miles in 40 years, I thank God he's worked with me. I thank God he's worked for me. I thank God he's worked through me. And yes, I thank God he's worked on me. Don't be bitter if life tastes bad today. He's working on you. Don't be bitter if the problems are many and the burdens are heavy. He's working on you. So blessed be God. Someday, he can work through you. Father, I don't know what in the world you saw in me.